Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Cam Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Cam, author of the number one best-selling book, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. Today, I'll be interviewing Guy Finley. Now, he's the director of Life of Learning Foundation Self-Realization School. Guy is a self-realization author and teacher known for his kindness, passion, and deep understanding of the inner path. Believe me, he's been at this for a long time, much longer than me, so I'm so pleased to have him on the show. He's the author of the best-selling book, The Secrets of Letting Go, and 35 other major works. So his ideas go straight to the heart, and most importantly, you know, it's your inner life that reflects therefore in your outer life. And so, you know, whether it's relationships, success, addiction, stress, peace, happiness, freedom, you know, there's so much of his work that can address all these different issues. So he's going to be sharing with us a new understanding of how to be unstoppable in all areas of your life by making a permanent connection with a deep, renewable well of higher energy hidden within you. And I'm going to be asking Guy about his story first so we can figure out, hey, who is this guy and how did he get to be this awesome teacher? So without further ado, hi there, Guy. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen. Nice to be with you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. So first of all, how did you become who you are today? How did you become unstoppable yourself? What's your story in brief?
In the truest meaning of the words, God only knows. you know, I mean, my story is not unlike in most respects everyone else's. It's just that, you know, some of the characters and situations are different. If there was an advantage, it was that I was born into a very successful family. My father is considered the father of late night television talk shows. He also was Time Magazine Man of the Year. I mean, he was a pretty powerful fellow in this world. And I grew up with the children of what a lot of people think are the Illuminati in terms of the entertainment world. My best pals were the sons and daughters of the Martins and the Arnezes and the Sinatras. I mean, that was my little young rat pack. But from the time, Karen, that I was, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years old, I realized that there was a huge disparity, a big problem. And the problem was that even though I couldn't put it into any kind of intellectual context back then, everybody that I was around was dysfunctional, afraid, angry, and it made no sense to me when you see people running after your father or the people you're with cameras and all of that, and then you think to yourself, well, you know, these should be happy people, but they're not. And I never was able to reconcile that contradiction as a boy, but I grew up never forgetting it, and so literally around the age of 11 or 12, I started this journey of wanting to understand what in God's name is going on in human consciousness that could produce and maintain such contradictions that not only tear the individuals apart, but then obviously have a planetary influence. So, I mean, that's it. The rest is stuff. My partner and I, the son of, again, celebrities. We were the first white soft rock artists on Motown Records. I wrote music for motion picture and television. Worked with Neil Diamond. And, I mean, just, you know, the whole glitzy 9 yards until I was about 25 years old, and then I quit. I traveled. I went to the Far East. I went around the world a couple of times, brushed my forehead on the feet of more gurus than you can raise a stick at, came home having learned almost nothing other than if I wanted to know a different life, I was going to have to do the work. And that's it, unless you need more than that.
Wow, that's great. Well, one of the things I most appreciate about your work is that, you know, people often have a misconception, if you want to call it that, that, you know, their lives aren't great because of their circumstances, because of who their mother or father was, or because of, you know, where they went to school or how they grew up or the person they married. Maybe it wasn't the right one, or maybe it was the job and the boss or whatever. And your work and the Unstoppable work is, hey, outer circumstances are outer circumstances. It comes, it goes. But, you know, it's how you perceive that and then what you do with it is what manifests your reality. So can you talk more about that? Because obviously you're from a place of what other people would call privilege, and yet you saw people that were not happy. They were miserable just as much as anybody else that was, you know, impoverished. So
I went from that, from the privileged life, to becoming a carpenter working for $8 an hour. And the carpenters working for $8 an hour trying to become the privileged.
Right.
The trip here is that there's some missing knowledge, which is what, you know, ideally my work is intended to supply individuals. And it's not so much that it's new knowledge. It's knowledge that helps the individual remember who and what they are. Because, see, the bottom line is there's nobody on the earth like you. That's the bottom line. And because there's nobody on the earth like you, meaning who is brought into existence through a marriage of very unique essential elements, that means that nobody can fulfill in life what you have been given to fulfill. But if you believe, as we all have, and been punished severely by, that the measure of your worth is determined by your culture and your society, your goodness is a value that your religion provides, while people run around full of hypocrisy, then you're going to suffer terribly, because the purpose of this life is not provided by our society, by our culture. That's a dressing. And when we really kind of start understanding that all the evidence proves that, because it doesn't matter how many races you run in this life, you cross the starting line and you hear a starting gun again. You just keep running and running and running. And so what I try to help people understand is that you as an individual are never inadequate to what the moment brings you. And that if you understand the reason that the moments appear in your life as they do, which is basically to produce a revelation within you about your present nature and at the same time its possibilities for transcendence, then you start looking at life not as an adversary when it doesn't go the way you want it to, but as a gentle and true intelligence extending an endless invitation to you to become something new, better, truer, and more loving.
So you're saying that, you know, for example, people will give, you know, story about, well, what about, you know, a young child who's 2 years old who gets molested, you know, they don't deserve that. And of course they're, you know, going to be, you know, going to be damaged. You know, how do you counsel people around those things that they feel is shouldn't happen? You know, this should never happen to anyone.
I tell them that before they start worrying about what's happening to other people, even a molested child, as horrible as that is, because, you know, the world is sick, and it is a sick world, but it's sick because individuals have become so frustrated and angry at their inability to make their life into what they have been told it should be, that you see these kind of miscreants running around doing these things. But I would say to that person, you know, before I worry about that child, How about the way in which you molest yourself?
Mm.
Tearing into yourself about what a bad person you are, how you didn't do this, why others have that. Negative states are negative states. And when we're full of them, Karen, meaning full of resistance to whatever life brings our way, who's the first one that's hurt when we cut off the possibilities of learning the truth about ourselves? And resistance, by the way, which is the seed of all negativity. Listeners, you want to write something down? You can't get negative. You can't get angry. You can't be afraid. You can't be caught up in any kind of reckless irritation or impatience without first resisting life. No resistance, no violence. But we don't understand that it, within us lives something that basically is always going, in the truest sense of the words, I don't want to learn. Because you see, if you resist something, I'm sure you know this, Karen, can I learn something? Can I learn if I resist a condition?
Mm-mm.
No, if I resist something, it's impossible for me to learn. Now, let's juxtapose that to the most important idea that we'll have time to cover, which is, the three most important words on the planet for anyone. And they are, I can learn. So if negativity, instant resistance to what someone says or what I read in the paper or how terrible this world is, and again, nobody's questioning it, then the minute that resistance comes into me, I have separated myself from the possibility of ever learning, now listen, anything, not only about the world and the people within it, but about the part of me that's made instantaneously negative in their presence. Negativity can't learn. Negativity hugs itself in a dark corner.
And, well, what about, people sometimes, myself included, we grew up with the cultural belief that when bad things happen, somehow it's our fault and that maybe it's God's punishment. You might get those kinds of questions, too, in your lectures.
Of course. And you know why? Because we would rather, human beings would rather burn than learn. There is nothing more futile and wasteful for a human being to do than to blame a circumstance outside of themselves for their experience of the moment. As long as we blame people, places, conditions for the way we feel, we are unknowingly agreeing to be a victim for the rest of our existence of every circumstance that doesn't go the way we believe it should in order to make us happy. Real freedom, real fearlessness is the understanding which we are all created to have, that nothing happens in this world that doesn't take place so that you and I can learn the next truth, the next deeper thing there is to understand about ourselves. Because if we see life that way, which we're meant to do, then whatever comes our way, and look, let's make this somewhat simple. May I go on for a minute, Karen?
Absolutely. Before you do that, I just want to let our callers know that we're past the halfway mark. So if you'd like to ask Guy a question and you're calling in live, you can do so. The number to call in is 818-514-1190. Again, that number is 818-514-1190. And I am interviewing Guy Finley, an inspirational spiritual teacher. So, yes, go ahead, Guy.
All right. So you be advocate for the listeners. Have you ever wondered, Karen, why, what is it that draws us to whatever it may be in the world? For instance, I live up here in the mountains in Oregon, and right now there's about 5 deer about 20 feet from my window waiting for me to come out and give them something. Why do I love these deer? Why do people love nature? What draws us to art or science or to anything? Have you ever thought, what is it that so compelling, what draws us into a relationship of any kind?
I think it's like somehow we feel a resonance to another part of ourselves,
that's
highest
pretty,
part of ourselves.
That's pretty darn close. That's exactly it. When I look out here right now, Angel, her name is the name of this one deer. She's actually standing at the window with her nose to it.
Oh.
I wish you could see it.
That's so sweet. So, we have yard
so I look
here
out the
too,
window
but
here.
Not that close.
And the reason that I'm drawn to this is because when it appears in my life, it awakens within me characters or qualities of myself that I'm not normally conscious of.
Mm-hmm.
So that the relationship serves as a process of a mirror through which there's discovery, not about Angel or the trees or the leaves on the ground outside, but about the part of me that is in some kind of direct relationship with it, so that when these things appear, I get to meet parts of myself that I really like.
Exactly.
You understand?
Yep.
So when I fall in love with somebody, one of the things that is so appealing about falling in love is that that person introduces me to parts of myself that if I didn't meet her or him, I wouldn't know. We're all in agreement, right?
Mm-hmm.
So relationship produces revelation. Can we summarize it like that?
Oh, yeah, I love that. I'm writing
right?
that
And the revelation
down.
Is what I am and what I have as a possibility. Can we agree about that?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes.
Boy, you've just fought. I can barely hear you.
Sorry about that. Can you hear me
still
now?
Still won't hear you. That, something's gone wrong.
Uh-oh.
I mean, I
go
can
ahead,
barely
guy.
Make you out. As long as it's okay on your end, we can keep going. I know we have such little time. I want to make this point.
Yes, go ahead, Guy. Can you hear me?
All right. So then the next question we have to ask ourselves, and listeners, keep in mind we're framing this so that we can understand this idea that fearlessness is recognizing that whatever comes my way is for my good. Can we then understand that if it's true in these moments in relationships that I pursue, that the revelation is taking place, and in that revelation there is an integration, then why wouldn't that be true, Karen, when it comes to every event, every person?
So if your partner, there's something in your partner that bugs you, that's another piece of yourself that bugs you.
That person that hurts you is obviously someone who, if they knew what they were doing, wouldn't do it. See, our problem is that our attention is everywhere but where it needs to be, which is within ourselves, conscious of the present moment. Because when an event comes along, whether it's a partner that bites us, or it's the economy that bites us, or it's news about our health that bites us, I'm saying that in that moment, that that's a revelation. That the event reveals to me aspects of my consciousness that I wouldn't know if the event didn't take place. Now, if the event is an event I don't want, and I suddenly get angry or frightened, one should understand, you know what? It isn't that the event produced the anger and the fear in me. The event is introducing me to a part of my nature that ordinarily I know nothing about, but that is always there because every event stirs it into being present and a punishment. So now I have something that I can begin to become conscious of instead of spending my life trying to avoid the conditions that awaken it in me.
Mm-hmm. And Guy, you know, a lot of times people, perfectionist types like me, go into judgment when, you know, for example, one of my spiritual teachers had an exercise for us to do, and I immediately felt resistance. And so I shared that with her. I said, wow, I'm feeling resistance in the moment. And she's like, great, you know, because there was that awareness and acceptance of that's where I was in that moment. And it's kind of interesting because those of us that want to be perfect don't want to ever then admit that, you know, if we go into resistance or anger or fear, that all of a sudden we're judging ourselves like, uh-oh, that's bad. You're not being spiritual.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have students that way that feel that way.
And again, that's one of these contradictions. We know in our heart of hearts that in some way there is the potential of an infinite nobility, an infinite compassion, an infinite ability to sacrifice, to be made wise. We know that. And yet, when these moments in life come along, and that they suddenly bring up in us this resistance, we don't want to recognize that there's no way for us to grow without going through these limitations. Our unconscious fear tells us that the limitation is the same as the end of our possibilities. No, the limitation and its introduction is the doorway itself to the next level of ourself, if we understand it.
Mm-hmm. And Guy, you know, we have the question here, and before we get to this caller, what I'd like to do is just let everybody know, if they want to study more with you, you have a program, and it's called How to Be Unstoppable, right? Can you tell us a little bit about this program?
It's called The Secret of Being Unstoppable, and it is a set of 16 separate CDs, or it's downloadable, and each and every one of the talks, they can be listened to in order or as intuition dictates, introduces the listener to these new ideas that help them remember that if indeed this life is not a race to win, but a school for our higher education, then what we require for the freedom is this new self-knowledge. Because in the end, we don't need new powers, Karen. We have to stop agreeing to make ourselves powerless by unconsciously identifying with this instantaneous resistance. So it's a 16-CD program, or like I say, MP3, you can download it. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Secret of Being Unstoppable.
Oh, that sounds great. And I know we have a special link for our listeners, and I just want to give out that URL that Guy has, we have co-created together. So it's www.karencan.com/unstoppable, and that will take you to Guy's special program. Again, it's www.karencan.com/unstoppable, and those of you on my mailing list will get a reminder as well of that link. Go ahead,
and
Guy.
And my foundation reduced it to a very, very affordable cost for your listeners and friends there. So I would urge you, if anything sounds right, if in your heart of hearts you realize I am not on this earth to be the unconscious handmaiden of negative thoughts and feelings, and that you can learn. We didn't have time to cover it, but there's something in us that when we run into these moments and it goes, no, I don't want this, it's really saying, and we're listening to it, this is where we stop. We're going to spend the rest of our lives refusing to learn the lesson in this moment. Once we realize that we are created to learn, to outgrow and continually, if you will, die to ourselves, discover the truth of ourselves, then you understand you do have something inside of you that is, in the truest sense of the word, unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So I have a caller here whose number ending in 4253. Do you have a question for Guy?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yep. You're a little garbled, but I can hear you. Can you hear him, Guy?
Well enough, and if I can't, you can repeat.
Okay.
Okay. So my name is Han. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
My question is, the Deepak Chopra introduces this concept of Upa Guru, which seems to parallel what you're describing, that the people around you that sometimes you think cause all this pain actually are there to teach you, and so they're your guru, and you see it that way. My question is, when you feel the pain, and I'm struggling with this concept that the pain and the hurt, you know, it is a good thing in some ways, and there's a way to learn from it. But in the meantime, there is this phenomenal rage inside me when something is unfair or unjust or inappropriate. And how does one settle oneself when that happens? I accept the idea that, yes, I put myself in this situation. The situation is useful. There's something to learn. But on the other hand, it's as if there's a beast inside me that's trying to protect me, and it's out there and angry and wants retribution. And sometimes
yes,
that's helpful,
yes.
But
let me answer because we only have so little time here. Number one, that beast in quotes, and good for you because at least you're starting to see it. It is not trying to protect you. That's the illusion. It is trying to convince you by the pain that it's producing in that unconscious conflict that somehow or other you are in the right and they are in the wrong. I have such short time here. Listen to this one idea, and I pray that you will consider it deeply. The only thing that troubles us about another person or their behavior in terms of how we can learn and grow from this, the only thing that troubles us is what we want from them. When you understand that, and then the person doesn't treat you as they should, or they're abusive, or whatever it may be, then you realize that the issue is not whether or not they should be that way. You can't change the other person. The real issue and the learning ground, the moment in which the teacher appears in the truest sense of the word, is that suddenly you are being introduced to a part of yourself that lives with these demands that you're not aware of until they're not met through the actions of the other person or the event. So the darkness in the moment doesn't exist without the demand placed upon it by you. Then you get to realize, the only thing I need to do here is not try to bring an end to this pain, but become so conscious of the nature responsible for it that I have to die to it. I have to give myself up. Then you have the true letting go and the true self-realization at the same time.
Wow. Does that make sense? Oops, are we still there?
I'm here.
I'm furiously writing this down. This is so awesome. You are so eloquent in what you're saying. Okay, well, thank you for that call, caller. I'm going to just mute you right now because we have just a little over a minute left. And
I would like to give a really neat perspective. Karen?
Yes.
Okay, I'm still having trouble hearing you. Can I give my website so that people who could like to know more might be able to get some more information, free information?
Sure, absolutely. Go ahead.
Anyone interested, if you go to guyfinley.org, G-U-Y-F-I-N-L-E-Y, guyfinley.org, you can get a free starter kit there with an MP3, a PDF, and you can use that website at guyfinley.org literally for years with the free resources there, marvelous search engine, FAQ, and an endless host of material that will help you grow. And, of course, you can also track me down through the various social networks, Guy Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y. Thank you, Karen.
Oh, thank you so much, Guy. And unfortunately, we don't have any more time to take any more calls. But in the 30 seconds left, Guy, do you have any parting words for our listeners?
Hello?
All right, so in the time remaining, Guy, do you have any last-minute parting wisdom words for our listeners?
It's so funny, Karen. You are getting further and further away. It's like watching a boat go over the horizon. Yes, the last word I would say is that we must understand that who and what we are is here not to control life, but to use the changes that it brings to us in order to discover parts of ourselves that are undiscoverable any other way. Don't resist. Instead, insist in the moment that that you remain conscious of yourself, everything else will take care of itself.
Oh, wow. That is awesome. Thank you so much, Guy, and thank you for our listeners for joining us today.
Bye. He waves goodbye on
now.
The dock. Bye.
All right.
We'll talk
take
again,
care.
Karen. See ya.
Yep. Bye, everyone.